This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. But the other day I think I heard from somebody that you don't need to say www anymore. You just say resonancefm.com, etc. Okay, well, today's show was flagged up or on the schedule as supposedly being about Isidor Isu, who was a letterist poet. He was born 1925 and died 2007. And an exhibition is presently on at the Pompidou Centre, running from the 6th of March until the 20th of May. But in the meantime, I encountered Frederick Acquaviva, who has just written a huge book on Isidor Isu and is also responsible for issuing Isu's poems on vinyl LP. And so he has agreed to come in on April the 12th. So I shall postpone the Isidor Isu show until April the 12th, when Frederick Acquaviva can come in and he knows far more about Isu than I do. So today's show will refocus or revisit the idea of UFOs and space. And which guest mic are you on?
Three.
Number three. I should bring that up. And so I should be relying somewhat on a catalogue issued by Susan Hiller, who died a few weeks ago, called Witness, which comes with a CD with various UFO sort of recorded interviews with people all over the world who have witnessed UFOs. Short sort of extracts of recorded interviews. And I happen to mention this to our esteemed studio manager, Sarah Nicole Selden.
Not anymore. Sarah Nicole.
Oh. Oh, did you have to correct me on air?
Yeah, no, sorry.
Yes, so inconsiderate. Okay.
How rude.
Sorry, Sarah Nicole.
Sarah Nicole.
I'm sure, doesn't your email still say Nicole Selden? Perhaps that's just in my, that might just be in my contact book.
Yeah, I think it's just in your contacts book.
All right, fair enough.
Never to mind. I'm interested, I've never heard the term UFOs.
No.
I always thought it was UFOs as opposed to UFOs.
Oh, sorry. Well, that's another mistake, you see.
You're going to correct me throughout the programme. No, no, I'm not correcting you. I like it. UFOs.
All right. UFOs or UFOs. All right.
Yeah,
well, they're
UFOs.
Unidentified flying objects.
Yeah.
Oh, we agreed on that.
Yeah, totally. Good. But I've just not heard it as UFOs. I like UFOs.
Okay. Now, so when I mentioned this to you, you then said you had, in fact, seen two UFOs yourself.
Mm.
So I seized the opportunity to ask Sarah to come on. But before she recounts her experience, because you are from New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
I thought we could play... This is one sighting. In fact, I've got two sightings from people who were in New Zealand. This one dates from 1996. So we could play this one.
My name is Damon W. I was with my girlfriend Frances in my backyard on Walton Road near Walnut Beach, Gisborne, North Island, New Zealand. It was 9 p.m. Saturday, August 10, 1996. The sky was overcast and we couldn't see any stars. I thought I saw a meteorite streak across the sky from the southeast to the northwest, and I called Frances' attention to it. She caught sight of it just as it disappeared over the top of nearby trees. Then, suddenly, it reappeared and flew in a zigzag pattern across the sky, seeming to perform sharp turns and changes in direction. Then it reversed and dropped towards some low hills by the sea. We realized that it could not be a meteor because it was below the clouds. It appeared to be a diamond or a rhombus shape, about the size of a 5-cent New Zealand piece, and it was surrounded by a fuzzy green glow. It then shot straight up and down, and that was the last we saw of it.
So, do you know him?
No, I don't
did
know.
Did you catch the address? It sounded like Walnut Avenue.
Yeah, in Gisborne. No, I've been to Gisborne once, so I don't really know anyone okay. from Gisborne.
And where are you from?
That's in the kind of central North Island on the east coast.
Right.
And it's the first place to catch the sunlight in New Zealand.
Okay.
That's where the sun hits. I am from the south, the very bottom of the South Island, a town called Invercargill.
Okay. I have one more recording here, which is from Bexley, New Zealand. Does that ring a bell?
No. Again, I think it's North Island, though.
Okay.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's a very small town, though.
Well, we can play that in a minute. Yeah. Most of these extracts only. Well, the next one, Bexley, New Zealand, is 1.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But maybe you could now tell me your experience of UFOs.
Okay, it wasn't in New Zealand. It was here in London, actually, which surprised me. It was summer of 2003. Richard, my ex-husband and myself were walking down Clapham Road and we saw, it's going to sound utterly ridiculous, William, not going to lie,
You're going to say still what? What, you still feel slightly nervous about it? Or?
Well, just can't believe what we saw, really. And it was, so it was a Saturday, I think it was a Saturday afternoon, it was mid-afternoon, walking down Clapham Road. So it was kind of busy, but not really busy. It was in between Stockwell and Oval, Oval and Stockwell, so walking from Oval to Stockwell, walking along, la 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 la. And then we just happened to look up, and it wasn't very high in the sky at all, it was quite low rise. But, and this is where you're going to laugh, it looked like a flying toilet seat.
Yes.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Not a donut?
No, not a donut. No, it looked like a flying toilet because it was high enough in the sky. And I know it sounds
So we're talking about the flap of the toilet seat as well, but it was that kind of shape.
No. It was
the whole toilet seat.
It was just the toilet seat as it goes down. So not...
The bit with the hole in the middle.
The bit with the hole in the middle,
okay.
Yeah.
But kind of slightly more horseshoe-shaped, but
yeah, and gliding along within the close horizon, basically. So it was quite nearby. It seemed to be.
Right.
It was very... I just kind of floating there. And we looked at each other, looked up again, and it was there. And then we kind of looked around for any other people who were looking up and... seeing this thing as we were.
Yeah.
And no one was looking up. And by the time we looked up, it was gone.
Right.
So it was just one of those, it was just very slowly moving.
How high do you think it was?
Oh, it's hard to tell.
Top of a tree?
Probably a bit higher.
Higher than the top of a tree?
Yeah.
How big do you think it was?
Well, it's hard to say again, isn't it? It's kind of...
Did it glow? Did it?
It wasn't glowing. It was the daytime. It wasn't nighttime. It was the daytime.
Okay.
So it was in daylight.
What colour was it?
Well... It was like
a toilet seat.
Sounds so ridiculous. It does sound so ridiculous.
But there are wooden toilet seats.
Yeah, no, it wasn't wooden.
Was it black?
No, it was like a grey colour.
Greyish.
Yeah, greyish colour.
And just a shape.
Just a shape. But it was a very slow glide.
Yeah.
It was definitely a thing. Like, had I seen it by myself, I would have questioned it. But because Richard saw it too.
Yeah.
You know, and we were completely sober. There was no, you know.
But was there no question? Did it occur to you that it could be a drone type thing or a human sort of?
Well, I guess it could have been an early drone, I guess.
Right.
Well, because it was 2003 and I guess they would have been around.
Yeah.
You know, they just weren't.
A sort of observational type thing?
Yeah.
Man-made, maybe?
But isn't that what a UFO essentially is? It could be anything. It doesn't have to be alien, does it? It can be just
true.
It could be some kind of testing.
Yeah.
So
but it was mysterious.
It was definitely mysterious, and that's what we just put it down to. Okay, this is what a UFO is.
Yeah.
It's just could be some military tested thing or
right.
or,
okay.
or whatever. You
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. Did it single you out, do you think?
I'm not that paranoid.
I'm kidding. Okay, what's the other one you saw?
The other one was actually a bit more dramatic. Again, it was probably military training of some sort.
Okay.
It was a summer's day around 2006, 2007. In Clissold Park. So you can imagine on a Saturday again, the park was packed full of people just because it was a lovely summer day. Da, 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 da. We're there with friends. And there were these darts, like really black darts, like, but they were smaller than planes. But they looked like a plane because they were dart shaped, but they weren't either. They were just really mysterious looking. And the whole park just stared at them, just going, what the?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There were a whole bunch of people saw this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many darts were there?
There was about two or three of them.
Hmm.
And they were quite fast, and they were just like... Ch-ch-ch. And again, they just disappeared off into the ether as well. You didn't see where they
Gosh.
Were.
Gosh, okay.
So they were really curious.
Yeah.
The fact that the whole park saw them and just like, what was that?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's about it in terms of... UFOs.
Well, that's it. Well, thank you very much for the account. This is another report from New Zealand.
The Homelands.
Should we just listen to this? It's only a minute and a half.
Yep.
My name is Edith Perkins. At 8:30 p.m. Monday, March 30, 1998, I was doing some chores in our backyard. This is in Bexley, just north of Christchurch, South Island, New Zealand. I saw something in the sky, like a capsule or cigar-shaped object. At first it had a silver whitish body with a darker grey forked tail. While I looked at it, it was just overhead, seeming to be coming closer. I was facing west. The rounded edges, front and back, of the object called my attention to it initially. Its size appeared to be about 10 centimetres long if held at arm's length. I suppose it was about 30,000 feet high, but it seemed very puzzling that there was no jet tail behind it. So I went indoors to fetch a pair of 7x35 binoculars. My husband joined me and our home care nurse. As we three watched, a very bright light completely covered the object. It did not happen as a flash of light. It seemed to start up and then finish with a burst of light. I was seeing a different rear design on the craft with a fork end to it, and the colour was now dark grey. Another burst of light occurred and the object presented a rim all around the craft, with either intermittent coloured lights on the rim or else the rim was composed of rotating coloured lights. These were in tones of reddish-orange. This object then flew out over Pegasus Bay towards the northeast.
So that's another New Zealand account. Does that geography mean anything to you?
It's just above Christchurch. It's just where I spent a lot of my life, really.
Really? Okay.
It's east coast again, so coming from the east, which is next stop is the States. Interesting.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay. Mm. Well, thank you very much, Sarah, for sharing your experience. And
thank you.
I shall probably play a few more of the Susan Hiller compilation with some spacey music.
It's a beautiful object.
The catalogue is,
yeah.
Yes. It's sort of metal. It's called Witness. And it comes in this sort of, what do you call that, brush steel or something? Brush steel, I think. Published by Art Angel a few years ago. And it must have been part of some installation or ongoing project that she had. All right.
I'll go upstairs and listen.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. All right, I have to try and line up this disc. Where are we? Oh, yeah.
Emptiness. Two. My name is Barbara Drabble. In July 1990, I was driving towards Croydon Youth Hostel alongside the reservoirs on the A628 late at night. There was a good moon and it was very warm. I had the car windows open. A strange light suddenly came up high on Bleaklow and lit the whole valley for a couple of miles. It was so bright I could have driven without headlights. Then the air turned cold and I had to wind the windows up. The bright light was terrifying and I didn't wait to see what caused it. The light couldn't have been just a single light because the whole mountainside was lit up just like daylight. When I passed the line of the light on the road, the air suddenly turned cold and my hair stood on end. When I emerged from the light, my car was covered in a thin layer of ice.
Electric reverb, stereo, sci-fi, space echo, keyboard Cadillac with a box Jaguar, atomic Wurlitzer flash, a souped-up Casio. Bubble blasters and a dry ice Eskimo. Strobe light lasers, floodlights, their phasers. Bubble blasters and a dry ice Eskimo.
Hap Jong Lee, reporting mysterious fiery object in the sky. I witnessed strange phenomenon which looked like fireworks in the night sky over the city of Ulsan. No explanation to this was given by authorities and no one will be able to explain this. It was not UFO. So many interpret this as a message from God. Nothing like this has happened here before. Please contact Korean TV companies and intelligence agency if you have any information.
Thank you. My name is Sergio Mendes. On Monday, January 20, 1997, in my town of Covilhã, in Barabaixa region, Portugal, I witnessed a large UFO flying over the Serra da Estrela mountain range after dark. This extraordinary thing was also seen by my friend Carlos Arruda. We were standing on the street, chatting, when we noticed one extremely large light in the sky, near Pico da Estrela. It appeared to be moving from east to west, heading for the Atlantic. The light was extremely large and round, and seemed to be always changing in color. First, it was strong white, very strong, and it seemed to be behind the clouds. Its second color was red, and its last final color was light blue. As the UFO flew over Covilhã, we could make out three colors in a circle in the sky. The thing moved quickly to the west. We lost sight of the UFO once it passed behind the Serra da Estrela ridgeline, heading for Lourosa. Many, many people in our region already have reported seeing strange illuminations and objects in the sky at night, but I myself did not believe in visitors from another galaxy. However, I must say that now I'm really wondering what the truth of all this is. I know that what I saw with my own eyes is real. It was definitely not an airplane, a balloon, a satellite, or a planet. It was huge, bright object moving extremely quickly and silently. And I would like an explanation.
Thank you. I am Pascal Manu from Grasse, Côte d'Azur, France. I was smoking a cigarette in my garden, 11 p.m., August 24, 1991. The sky was clear, with no clouds. So suddenly I saw some lightnings covering all the valley. I didn't understand and started to look for some clouds or storm, but there was nothing. Three or four lightnings more happened, and then I saw, coming from the depth of the sky, a huge ship, ovoid-shaped, about 200 meters long, white and very light, with tiny lights all around, describing a kind of circle on the hull. The ship stayed there for about 15 seconds, emitting a kind of sound, and then went off, horizontally first, and started to go up to the sky at an enormous speed. I was surprised and disturbed by this sighting.
My name is Sergio Sanchez Flores. On the early evening on Wednesday, January the 1st, 1997, I and 11 other people witnessed something astonishing. I was in the fields with the other farm workers when we suddenly saw a very large object, which was of a cylinder shape and of a very bright glowing orange color. All of a sudden, it was just there, floating over the sugar cane fields. This is near San Cristobal, Chiapas. We all watched this huge, glowing thing for several minutes before it seeped away to the east, heading for the Rio Usumacinta, the border with Guatemala. It was not possible to estimate the size of the thing because we could not tell how far away it was. No one knew what to say about it afterwards. It was just too strange.
eingekohlte Badeschwamm. Der dreigekrönte Badeschwamm.
I am a commercial photographer. On Sunday, October 24th, 1999, at about 10 a.m., I was driving through open countryside in Yamanashi Prefecture, just southeast of Kofu City. I pulled over to the side of the highway where I had panoramic view of Mountain Fujiyama against a clear blue sky. It had a powerful effect on me, so I got out my camera and began snapping pictures with a 100-300 micro lens. I took 11 photos of mountain and then proceeded on my way. When the roll of film was developed, however, I found the image of two UFOs at one time traveling side by side. The photo shows a transparent magenta light that leaves trail behind it. In one photo, there appears to be a powerful light source that emits a strange magenta green energy field. Also, at some point, the flying object appeared to hover over Mountain Fuji. I am a professional freelance photographer specializing in portraits, but I have been trying over and over again, trying to find a rational explanation for these unusual photos, which I simply can't understand.
My name is Patricia Bigson. On Tuesday evening, March 10th, 1998, I and my two daughters, aged 17 and 11, were driving south on Interstate Highway 26 in South Carolina, heading to Florida for a vacation. As we approached Columbia, the state capital, we all saw a UFO. We were traveling at about 65 miles per hour on I-26, just past the Broad River Road exit, north of Dutch Square Mall. It seemed to be hovering over the highway. I got a very good look at it from underneath. It was rectangular, almost a diamond shape, with unusually bright lights on the bottom and more lights on the top. The lights shining up seemed equal to those shining below, and there were at least 12 or 13 lights. When we first saw the object, it appeared to be a stationary light, about 20 degrees above the horizon, about the size of the light on a radio tower. As we drove closer, we went directly under it. Directly overhead, it was as big as a basketball held at arm's length. I estimate that my daughters and I had the UFO in view for 5 minutes.
In my bed alone, there's a sound, a humming, that chills me to my bones.
My heart, my ears are drumming, 'cause there's a light up in the sky, coming closer and closer. Mum and Dad are fast asleep, so down the stairs I'll creep. I'll sidle through the kitchen, trip lightly across the floor, and slowly, very slowly, I'll open the back door. The ship is in the garden. The door is open wide, bidding me enter to go inside. And as I do, the door closes, and we soar off into space, where I turn into an alien, with tentacles and a green and yellow face. And dreams are free, and the only limit is the edge of reality. For it is known and clearly shown that the universe is sympathetic to every living creature. And we only hold back from freedom by our personal fear. Or the thoughts of others' jeers.
Ha 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 ha
Now I've told you I'm an alien and must be leaving soon.
I've given you the answer to solve the under.
So do not let fear hold you back. Do not be afraid. Remember you are as big. Any hope or plan you have ever made. Look, we got a long one yet. This
I was hurrying to catch a bus in Poole, Dorset, when I saw a UFO. My name is Richard Moore and I'm a deck chair attendant. On Saturday, May the 21st, 1977, I spotted a flickering light behind the clouds. At first I thought it was the moon, but then I saw the real moon proper in another part of the sky. Just looking at the strange object made me feel weird. It was a flying saucer shape with another shape on top and a beam of white light from its centre to the ground. Time seemed to stand still as I watched. Then the thing started to move off, banking very fast before it disappeared. It wasn't like anything I'd ever seen before. I was really glad to hear others had had similar experiences that same night because my friends were starting to think I was mad.
Hello, My name is John Spicola, and I believe I witnessed something about 2 weeks ago above Tampa, but the funny thing is, no one wants to talk to me about it. I called two TV stations, and all the media seems to be thinking about is the president's affairs. I'm not the only one who saw lights that night. There were other reports by a TV station here in Tampa, WTVT Fox, about the lights. I learned of the other people who saw them also. Here is my story. It was 12:30 a.m. on a cool but very clear Florida night. There were no clouds, no lightning. It was the middle of January, and it's beautiful here in the winter. I was walking my dog on the sidewalk next to my neighbor's house, and all of a sudden there was this intense light. So stunning was this light that I cowered, expecting to be hit by something falling. So fast and bright was this light, it left me stunned for a couple of seconds. There was no noise, car, airplane, helicopter, anywhere that I could hear. As my eyes adjusted to this brightness, the light turned into about 20 spotlights, shining on the street, the sidewalk, my dog, and me. I started to get mad. I said to myself, what helicopter, plane, etc. could make these lights appear straight above me? I then instinctively looked over my right shoulder, and as I started to turn around, the lights swirled to the right as if the object was spinning away. Again, there was no sound. The whole thing took less than a minute, and it was over. My little dog and I were just left there. He did not whine or bark the whole time. I had to ask myself what happened. I nervously walked back to my house and sat on my sofa. I had just been watching TV, so I knew the exact time. Only 5 minutes had passed. I questioned my sanity for about a minute and said to myself, something was out there, but what? Then there was nothing but clear, bright sky and many stars.
My name is Damiano Parravano, from Piedimonte San Germano, Frosinone, Italy. On January the 1st, 1997, at 11 p.m., I was working with an old friend in a flat area close to my house, and suddenly we both felt a weird sense of cold, and above us the clouds turned to be bright yellow with strange red lights, and after a while those strange colors became two big plates reversed one on the other. That object was more than 60 feet in diameter and after a few seconds disappeared with an impressive speed.
Welcome back to Resonance FM.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.